coming down to the crunch on doctor-assisted suicide.
The Carter decision from the Supreme Court is now the law of the land, or will be June 6th, if no law is passed.
On the feature today, Andre Schouten on what it would mean if Parliament misses the deadline on Bill C-14. In the news, mixed results for social conservatives from the National Conservative Party Convention in Vancouver. And ARPA's back in court this week on the Trinity Western case.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
The Federal Conservatives held a national convention in Vancouver last week. It was the first time they'd gotten together to debate policy since they lost the election to Justin Trudeau's Liberals last year. The issue that got most of the media attention was a decision by the convention to change the language on party policy regarding same-sex marriage. They removed a clause which defined marriage as the union of one man and one woman. That clause is gone. But what you're not hearing from virtually any of the media coverage of this issue was a second clause in that same resolution, which also passed in the same vote. That clause expressly supported, quote, the freedom of religious organizations to refuse to perform unions or allow the use of their facilities for events that are incompatible with their faith and beliefs. Peace River Westlock MP Arnold Viersen says for him, the surrender on the marriage definition was a low point of the convention, but equally, he's not unhappy with the second part of that resolution.
I'm not considering resigning my seat over it or something like that at this point. It is reality that we have to deal with. There's no doubt about that. And the conscience rights was definitely a win on that one for sure. If that was the negotiation, I guess that was a positive that came out of that whole situation.
Lots of other policy debate as well. The party voted to support specific conscience rights for healthcare workers, the right for those workers to refuse to participate in or refer patients for abortion, assisted suicide, or euthanasia. And a motion to add a condemnation of sex-selective abortions also passed, although that vote was a fair bit closer than the others. Viersen says overall, the Conservatives left Vancouver in a much better frame of mind than many people had expected.
The convention was very positive, and it was neat to see the leadership candidates expressing their views on a bunch of things. It clarified it for me a little bit, I guess, and looking forward to seeing who else is going to be in it. Got to listen to Kevin O'Leary. He was exciting. Overall, it was a fairly upbeat convention.
I also spoke with Mike Schouten from We Need a Law after the policy debates wrapped up on Saturday afternoon. We were standing just outside the big hall where almost 3,000 delegates were getting ready to file out.
First of all, Mike, just the general impressions of the convention. What do you think?
Well, it was a good experience for us. I think one of our main purposes with being here was to encourage enough socially conservative party supporters to vote in favor of a number of resolutions. The other one was to show the party that pro-lifers matter, that we care, and we're here, and we have influence. We did lots of placarding. We handed out lots of flyers. Alyssa Galab and Scott Hayward with Right Now were also here. And we did lots of networking with people who have influence. Here we have in Vancouver 2,000 to 3,000 of the party's most faithful supporters. You've said numerous times over the weekend how it costs $800 at least to get here, right? So these are people who are dedicated to the party, and we've shown them that we're not going away, and we want this party to reflect some of our values.
One of the resolutions that we were watching closely was the one on sex-selective abortion. It just added the word abortion to the notion that we condemn discrimination based on sex selection. It barely passed.
It's interesting because I was at the 2013 policy convention where we built enough support, in fact, overwhelming support, 98% support for the resolution that said a Conservative Party condemns gender discrimination. This policy convention, we sought to add the word abortion, just that one word on that existing policy. And we saw how when you mention that word in a policy convention like this, people get leery immediately. We saw some of the no speakers talking about how this was going to be the first step to taking away a woman's right to choose. So it shows to us, especially to us as a grassroots organization, that we have work to do in changing the culture before actual laws are going to begin to change to reflect our values.
Overall impressions. Does We Need a Law and groups like this need to get more politically active in these kinds of settings?
I think we do. There's room for us to grow in encouraging people to get involved at the party level. And that starts with identifying pro-life supporters. We have fairly active databases already, but we need to grow those databases, and we need to encourage people to not just have opinions on this and support our building of a groundswell of support for protections for children in the womb. We need to get people out to things like this so they can vote in favor, so that we're not at a policy convention again where a simple resolution dealing with something as benign as gendercide, as a gendercide resolution which just condemns the act itself, passes with a very slim count, as we saw this afternoon.
One other note of the news this week, ARPA lawyer Andre Schouten will be in Vancouver in a few days arguing the Trinity Western case before the BC Court of Appeal. The BC Law Society is appealing a lower court ruling that upheld the accreditation of that proposed Trinity Western Law School. Originally, the Law Society had itself approved the law school, the board did, but then they rescinded that decision after holding a referendum among the members of the society. Back in December, the BC Supreme Court ruled that the referendum was improper. ARPA has been granted oral intervener status in the case to present arguments in support of Trinity Western. Schouten is scheduled to be before the three-judge panel on Wednesday and Thursday this week. Back with more after this.
We expect Bill C-14, Canada's assisted suicide legislation, to pass from the House of Commons and move to the Senate early this week, where it will be debated, possibly amended, and voted on sometime in the next month. Please take time this week to email senators to express your concerns. More information is available at arpacanada.ca/stop-euthanasia.
And we're back on the program. As you just heard from Nikki Pennings, the vote is expected this week on Bill C-14. The House was adjourned last week because both of the major parties had conventions, the Conservatives in Vancouver and the Liberals in Winnipeg, but now they're back at it again. There's a good chance, though, that this bill may not become law before the deadline set by the Supreme Court of Canada. I've got Andre Schouten on the line with me. Andre, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me back, Al.
So on what basis are we thinking that this deadline is going to be missed? There was a Senate report a week and a half ago that is causing some doubts about this.
So the Senate is sending signals that unless certain changes are in Bill C-14 when it comes to the Senate, that they themselves will revise it. And if the Senate revises the bill, then it's got to go back to the House of Commons again for another vote before it can be passed into law. So just looking at the parliamentary calendar, it's likely that the Senate's going to take some time yet to review the bill. Probably not too long because they have done some pre-study on it, but they'll take some time to go through the process. They've got to do the three votes, the first reading, second reading, committee stage, and the final vote. And if they do make changes, which is a real possibility, judging by the strength of the report that they've done in the meantime, then, yeah, it's got to go back to the House of Commons. And if by that time the House of Commons is done sitting for the summer, there's a good chance that we might not see this legislation pass until September.
So where does that leave us then? The Carter decision, which was released a year and a half ago now, effectively becomes the law of the land in the absence of any bill. This is what happened with the abortion question in a different way. We have no law at all. In this case, we would have a law, but it would be the nuts and bolts of the Carter decision, correct?
Yeah, exactly. I've heard many people, including many lawyers, say that if we don't have a law passed by June 6, which is the magical date at which time the Supreme Court of Canada expects Parliament to have a new law passed and introduced, I've heard many lawyers, including pro-life lawyers, say that, well, if we don't meet that deadline, if we don't have a law, it's going to be just like we have with abortion. But that's not true. It will be similar to the abortion situation in the sense that the law of the land will be as the Supreme Court has made it. Back in the abortion context, back in 1988, the Supreme Court struck out any laws protecting preborn human rights so that an entire class of human beings had absolutely no legal protection or legal recognition. So that means any human being before birth was not protected or even recognized in law. And so we had a total open season on the preborn, so to speak. That's not the case here. With euthanasia, yes, we'll have no law against assisted suicide as such, but there are constraints that the Supreme Court built into their judgment. So that law was only struck down. A better term would be that that law was only read down, because the law is not totally gone. It's only gone as it relates to a doctor who's assisting someone with a grievous and irremediable medical condition that's causing them enduring suffering. So it's limited in that sense. I would agree with other pro-life lawyers who say that if this were the same as the abortion question, then we would have seen the Supreme Court say anyone over the age of 75, you know, has no more legal protections at all. Anyone can dispose of a 75-plus person as they see fit. You know, that would be more analogous to the abortion question. That's not at all the case here. It is much more limited. But yes, the Carter decision from the Supreme Court is now the law of the land, or will be June 6th, if no law is passed.
So fundamentally, the discussion we had, and I referenced it on the program last week, some say the Carter decision is actually better in terms of protections of life than the Bill C-14 that's being proposed. Others say Bill C-14 is better than nothing. Where do we come down on that?
It's a little bit of both, if I could be a fence sitter, Al. Actually, Life Canada, another pro-life educational organization in Canada, they put together a helpful document where they've compared a number of different safeguards or requirements or conditions and compared Carter, the Supreme Court decision, with Bill C-14 in its first stage, its first edition. And if you go down that list, you'd be able to see that there's some safeguards that Carter has that seem overlooked or expanded on in Bill C-14 and vice versa. For example, Carter is very clear that it's for adults. Bill C-14 contemplates eventually expanding to children. On the other side, C-14 requires two doctors to sign off, whereas Carter doesn't. C-14 requires a waiting period, Carter doesn't. C-14 requires informed consent, so that there has to be a written notice signed by the patient, and so on. So there are some safeguards that are built into C-14 that are stronger than the Carter decision. So I wouldn't say that there's an easy answer to that kind of a question. I think that there's pros and cons, if I can put it that way, to both. But the reality is, when we step back from it all and look at it from a firmer foundation, from an objective basis, from the basis of God's word and what is right and wrong, both are bad. Both say we as a society can kill people who are living lives that we think are not worth living. And I think that's what we have to keep in mind here.
A couple of other things. The provinces, pretty much all of them, have now written regulations on how this will be administered. They vary a little bit across the board. And there was a court ruling in Alberta last week as well, which already struck down the guidelines that the Alberta government was trying to propose, saying it's not loose enough. I mean, this whole thing seems to be a moving target.
Oh, absolutely, Alan. This is exactly what we've predicted from day one. There's not a jurisdiction in the entire world that has legalized assisted suicide and have not seen it expand. And I think that the lawyers who were challenging our assisted suicide prohibitions in court knew this. They knew that if they could just get the nose of the camel in the door, it would be within a very short amount of time wide open in this country. When we sat in the Supreme Court and I listened to the oral arguments of the lawyer for Carter, the lawyers advocating for the law to be struck down, it kept on insisting over and over again that it's just for these most extreme cases, just for those who are suffering this horrific way, just for adults, just those who were terminal, just those who really, really needed it in the last moments of their life so they could end well, so to speak. Very, very emphatic in their oral arguments that it was just for this exceptionally small amount of people. And yet, those same lawyers, for example, the lawyers for the BC Civil Liberties Association, which is the group that really pushed this all, they are now saying, oh, these new laws that we're seeing in the provinces, that we're seeing from the federal government, C-14, they're just not wide open enough. We've got to expand it more. We've got to expand it more. And in fact, we're even seeing some organizations like Dying with Dignity arguing that we should actually strike down C-14, vote it down, because it's just not wide open enough. And now we have the Alberta Court of Appeal just ruled that psychological suffering, extreme forms of psychological suffering, also should be included as a reason for assisted suicide, even though C-14, the draft anyway, says that it should not be. So this is the slippery slope. It's not a fallacy of argument. This is the slippery slope of one condition following the other necessarily. And we saw this coming. We warned about this, and we're seeing it happen right before our eyes.
Andre, we're out of time. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Al.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.